I want you to imagine that somebody walks up to you and hands you a nickel. What would your thought be? Why is this person handing me 5 cents? What would you do with it? You'd probably go home. You might leave it on the top of your dresser and wonder why. Now, imagine somebody walks up to you and hands you a $5 bill. That'd probably give you a little different response than that nickel. But you would still be saying, okay, $5. Unfortunately, today, $5 isn't as significant as it might have been. You might think, well, it's interesting to have $5. But imagine somebody walks up to you and hands you $500. Now you're getting a little more interested. You're looking at those $500 and you're asking yourself, well, what might I be able to buy with $500? But imagine somebody walks up to you and hands you $500,000. Now you're asking yourself, what do I need to do to preserve the value of the gift? It seems that the higher the value of the gift, the more consideration we give to how we will invest the gift. We're considering value. Our world has a lot of consideration when it comes to value. There's a term out there called ROI. Who can tell me what that means? Return on investment. Most of you knew what that meant. So return on investment, that means if I was given $500,000 and I was trying to decide how to invest it, I would be asking what would be the greatest return that I can receive on this $500,000 gift. Now, why are we concerned about a return on our investment? There's another term called net worth. And so if somebody asks you what your net worth is, if you understand those terms, you immediately start adding up your assets and subtracting your liabilities or the amount that you owe. And the result of that, assets minus liabilities, is considered by this world to be your net worth. You notice I said this world considers your net worth to be your assets minus your liabilities. But I would like for us to begin this morning by calculating our net worth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. You can discard that mental piece of paper that you might have just used to try to calculate your net worth. Because your worldly assets minus your worldly liabilities are meaningless when it comes to God's evaluation and our own evaluation of our true net worth. In fact,
1 John 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. The world looks at you and evaluates your net worth based on what you have or what you can do. God looks at you and He evaluates your net worth based on what He has spent to make you of ultimate value. And God has given abundance. He gave Jesus. Jesus came to invest His life in you. That is your net worth. And I would guard against your placing a lower value on something than God does, because God is the expert when it comes to human value. I have really been thinking about Ephesians chapter 1. And it talks about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So the hope of His calling, that gives us courage as we consider the subject of net worth. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? In future weeks, we will be unpacking these concepts. They are powerful. And then the power, the greatness of His power toward us. You see, you are of such extreme value that your value cannot be calculated. God looks at you and He says, you are of ultimate value. Our hope is not in the worldly things that we possess. Our hope is in what God has done for us. Now, when you look in the mirror, you might see something a little frightening. And I'm going to explain why. I'm going to let the Bible explain why. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and 7. It says, "It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." What you see in the mirror does not reflect your value. Because you see, you are an earthen vessel. I am an earthen vessel. And no matter what we do to these earthen vessels to try to make us look good, that has nothing to do with our value. The scripture says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so God has placed within us extreme value. Our character, our personality, who we are, those unique qualities that make us who we are, have been given to us by God. And He has given us the ability to experience our value by giving us treasures to be able to use. Those treasures include things like time, money, abilities. And so we are realizing that God has invested huge quantities of valuable things so that you and I will be able to experience our ultimate value in Jesus Christ. And I believe that is why in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." I like the way the New International puts it, above all else, guard your heart for everything you do flows from it. I am so thankful that God does not say, put a tremendous amount of effort to make yourself of value. You can read the stories that Jesus told. And every time someone is asked to do something, they are first given the treasure. And then they are called to make use of it. We are not called to make ourselves of value. You are a daughter or a son of God. God has invested in you. And what God is calling us to do is value the investment that He has made. And you see, your most valued possession is your heart, because it is from your heart that everything else proceeds. It's from your heart that you respond to others. It's from your heart that you respond to God. And when I start thinking about hearts and guarding hearts, I start realizing that there are an awful lot of broken hearts in this world. You may be sitting here this morning, and when you think about your heart, you may be saying to yourself, I'm not sure I have much heart left. You may be nursing a broken heart. So how do hearts get broken? Why does God say, guard your heart? It's because there are those out there who are trying to steal from you. And I'm not talking so much your money or your possessions, but they're trying to steal your heart. Their primary mission in life is to use people up. And so what do? They lure you in with tremendous promises. They put this wonderful front forward. And they make it sound like if you will just attach your life to theirs, you will have an amazing, incredible life. They promise you lifelong joy and happiness. And the problem is, once you take the bait, once they've gotten what they want, the person who is not inspired by Jesus Christ will take your heart, crumple it like a piece of paper, and throw it in the nearest trash can. And you are left wondering if you have any remaining value. The good news is that God is in the business of healing broken hearts. Because you see, God's primary desire is for you to realize and experience your ultimate value. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. We are reminded of Jesus' mission in life. And Jesus' primary mission in life, He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I'd like for us to focus on that little phrase, to heal the brokenhearted. If you are struggling with your heart, if you are grappling with this question, am I of value? Go to the one who created us to begin with. Go to the one who specializes in healing broken hearts and ask for that privilege of realizing what you are indeed worth. We as Christians do need to focus a lot more on our return on investment. Matthew 6. This is Jesus speaking. And it is an inspiring and hope-filled commission. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we are to lay up for ourselves treasures where? In heaven. Now, by way of reminder, where do these treasures come from that we are to lay up in heaven? They come from heaven. So we might wonder, why would Jesus take treasures from heaven, hand them to us, and then say, I want you to invest them in heaven? Those treasures are time, our money, our abilities. You see, God realizes better than we do that these are things that are of no value unless they are used, unless they are experienced, unless there is a personal application of these things. And God realizes that for Him to keep all of these things in heaven's storehouse would be an unwise investment of His resources. And so God says, I want to give you money. I want to give you time. I want to give you abilities and talents so that you will be able to experience these resources. So that you can discover how incredible it is to be interacting with the kingdom of heaven. And so God gives us all of these. Again, your time, your money, your abilities are of ultimate value. But our text warns us, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. What happens if I take God's time and I invest it in worldly things? God's investment does not produce a return. It is lost. We've all done it. We've spent an hour or two on something. And then we've looked back over that time and we've realized, you know what? I don't feel good about the way I invested my time. It may not have even been something considered bad, but it didn't produce the return on the investment that I realized I could have had if I had done something else of more value with my time. So why does God say, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal? The last part of this verse helps us to understand where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So guard your heart. Your most valued possession, God is saying, I want you to make sure that your heart is safe. And if your heart is invested in this world, it is going to be broken. If you invest your heartfelt time into this world, you will feel empty by the end. If you invest your financial resources in this world, you may end up with a broken heart and a broken piggy bank besides. Because if you invest in this world, you will not have a return on the investment. God says, guard your heart, because to lose your heart is to lose eternity. To lose your heart is to miss out on the incredible, great joy and pleasure that God wants to give. And so we ask God, okay, how do I have the best ROI? How do I have the best return on investment of the resources that I have? So we ask the text, well, what happens if I invest in heaven? Number one, neither moth nor rust destroys. So there is nothing that can eat away my treasure in heaven. A thief cannot break in and steal that which I have invested in heaven. And so we start realizing that when we place our treasures in God's hands, He is the master investor. We will never come to the end and find out that we lost out when we've invested our resources in the hands of God. Now, I realized something as I was studying this text. I had always thought, okay, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I'd always pictured this almost stagnant account where I just kept giving things to God to just kind of store up for me, so that once I reached heaven, I would have something to show for my life on this earth. As I started thinking about this, I started realizing the return on investment happens long before the second coming of Jesus Christ. You see, when we lay up treasures in heaven, heaven is a very active, dynamic, real, relevant center of activity. As soon as I invest in heaven, God begins working with that which I have invested. And He begins multiplying it. And that multiplication happens in my life and in the lives of those around me. So as you invest in heaven's account, as you invest your finances, and as you invest your time, God begins multiplying the investment. An illustration of that is in Malachi, as it talks about the tithe. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So what happens when we invest in heaven? What happens when we place our treasure in heaven? God begins pouring out blessings on us, on those around us. That is what makes our reward in heaven so great. Because God starts investing. And when God invests, His investments grow. And so we are encouraged. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I found a fascinating statement. The Messenger of God in Testimonies, Volume 1. She says, the work of God is to become more extensive. And if His people follow His counsel, there will not be much means in their possession to be consumed in the final conflagration. All will have laid up their treasure where moth and rust cannot corrupt, and the heart will not have a cord to bind it to earth. So if there is anything that you possess that is binding your heart to this earth, it's time to cut the cord. It's time to invest more fully in your heavenly bank account. Because you see, the time is coming when our time, our money, and our resources are going to be cashed in. I want you to imagine that moment when Jesus appears in the clouds of heaven. The moment that you realize that Jesus is coming back. At that moment, there is nothing left of any value on this earth. There is no gold, there is no silver, there is nothing precious anymore on this earth, because it is all worthless. In fact, in Isaiah 2:20, it describes it this way. It says, in that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each for himself to worship, to the moles and the bats. Millions and billions of dollars in bank accounts, worthless, of zero value. You see, our money, our time and our opportunities will be added up in that day. And our final return on investment of this life will be calculated. There will be one of two extreme reactions when the final tally is made. There will be one group that will be despairing and throwing their possessions to the moles and to the bats. There will be another group who will be standing there when the king says to them, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We have the privilege of looking forward to finding out what God has done with that which we had invested in His kingdom. When Jesus comes and our feet leave this earth and we realize that there is nothing that has connected us to this world, we realize that there is nothing to prevent us from being caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet our Lord in the air. And we get to heaven. And that first day in heaven, we will look around and we will realize that our return on investment so far exceeds anything that we could ever have imagined. Our only regret will be that we haven't invested more before we got there. I think of the life of Jesus. He came to this earth because He valued you. He lived his life on this earth. And every moment of his life, his primary consideration was return on investment. And so he invested every moment doing that which would produce the greatest reward in the lives of those for whom he came to save. When it came to the very end, and he hung on that cross, Jesus was there because he believed that regardless of the consequences to himself, it was worth everything that he could invest so that you could experience the kingdom of heaven. And that is why Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God has promised amazing returns on investment to those who will invest in his kingdom. As you're sitting here today, you may be pondering in your mind, what do I need to invest in the kingdom of God? Are there things that are tying me to this world? Is my money? Is my time? Is my desires or my pleasures? Is there anything that might be keeping me from enjoying the current returns on investment that God wants me to have? I'd like for us to consider what God promises to those who invest in his kingdom. Number one, there is hope. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose hope. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. If you look in the mirror and your impression is things are going downhill fast, that person in the mirror is looking way too old, we don't have to worry about that. If the diagnosis isn't good, praise God, we don't even have to worry about that. Because what really matters, it is what is happening inside. What really matters is that we are receiving that which God is pouring out on us. And we are investing that which he has given to us. Because when he comes, he can handle the physical problems. We'll be transformed. And that which we have treasured from him will be preserved for eternity. There's not only hope, but there is peace. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. The enemy is trying to trouble your heart. Guard your heart. If you find that there are things in your life that are causing you to be troubled, cut the cord. Give them to Jesus and invest yourself in God's future. This is a statement from the book Christ's Object Lessons. It says, better than all the friendship of the world is the friendship of Christ's redeemed. Better than a title to the noblest palace on earth is a title to the mansions our Lord has gone to prepare. And better than all the words of earthly praise will be the Savior's words to his faithful servants. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus has assured us. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How are your investments doing? You know what your net worth is today, because God has invested infinity in you. He offers to you the treasure. And he says, please, make the return on the investment. Make sure that what you are given is being invested in heavenly things, so that in your life, in your family, in your friends, in the people around you, the investment may be multiplied. So that someday when God says, well done, you will be able to rejoice in what He has done. I know in my own life, it's my desire to be even far more invested than I've ever been before. Because I know that that is what God wants for me. And I am just challenging you today. Consider your investment. Make sure that your resources are being invested in that which will produce the greatest returns. I'd like for us to pray. If you're able and would like to kneel with me and just commit your resources to God, I would invite you to join me. Father, you have given us so much. You gave us Jesus to help us to understand your love for us, and also to make that tremendous investment of righteousness. So today we reach out and we want to accept your gifts. We thank you for them. And even as we reach out to accept these gifts, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to direct our hearts and our minds. We pray that you would help us to be able to invest wisely that which you have entrusted to us. Because our heart's desire is to someday see you in the clouds of glory. And Lord, when we see you and we look around and we see those who we have been privileged to invest in this earth, the joy that comes will be amazing. And so we just ask that you would bless us. Separate us, Lord, from anything on this earth that would prevent us from following you today. And we thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.